Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Serving Christ in Healthcare. I'm going to pretend that it hasn't been a really long time since the last recording and continue where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and talk about what it is that the Bible is teaching us here and then also how we can apply that to our work in healthcare. So instead of reading it for you, I would encourage you to take a look at it before listening, if you're able. Just read it through, and I'm just going to quickly give a summary of what we're talking about here. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is our author here, writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church has some questions about Paul's ministry, questions about Paul himself. And so Paul here is in a sense, defending himself. And what he does is he starts out by saying that he has rights as an apostle for the Lord. He says, do I not have the right to eat and drink? Do I not have the right to have a believing wife as the other apostles do? Do I not have a right to these things? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? And so on and so on. And specifically applies that thought to those who are set apart for preaching the word. So we think about our full-time pastors. And he says, the Old Testament even is saying that those who are proclaiming the word should make their living by the word. And so he's using this to illustrate the fact that as an apostle, he does have rights to be supported materially by those who are receiving his teaching. He makes that point in verses 1 through 14. But he goes on to then say that though he has those rights, he has actually given up those rights for the sake of the gospel. He says in verse 15, I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. So Paul is saying here, unlike some of these quote-unquote super apostles around at the time who were proclaiming the gospel to get wealthy, and we see a lot of that even nowadays, people that are actually going out and preaching and teaching to actually benefit their own wealth. Paul is saying, unlike those people, I actually, though I have the right to make a living by the gospel, like we've established, I have not made use of that right because I don't want anyone to say, oh, Paul's just doing this so that he can get rich. Paul's just doing this so that he can get some material benefit. And Paul is saying, no, I've actually laid down those things so that you could not accuse me of that, right? So that no one would deprive me of my grounds for boasting. He says that in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge. That is his reward. Okay, he's saying I have not made use of my full right in the gospel. Then he goes on to say that part of why he did that was so that he could be a servant to all so that he might win more of them. He wanted to serve indiscriminately people with the gospel of Christ so that they would come to hear the gospel and believe and be saved. So he says to the Jews, this is in verse 20, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. So we see Paul's overriding priority and emphasis, and that is that he would win people to Jesus Christ through his proclamation of the gospel. And he saw that surrendering his rights to be provided for materially would actually serve to promote more people coming to hear, coming to believe. And so Paul did that. And so then we finish in chapter 9. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? And he goes on to describe these athletes who are running. They're running, they're working, they're training for a prize that will perish. But Paul is going as one for a prize that does not perish. He says, I discipline my body. I keep it under control. I do not run aimlessly. He doesn't want, after he preaches, to himself be disqualified. So Paul is pushing forward. He's running the race, that he may obtain the prize. And in doing that, he is calling others to join him in the race. So that's just a brief overview of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, how can we appropriate this for those who are working in healthcare? How can we apply this to our lives? Now, obviously, we are not, if we're working in healthcare, we are not full-time proclaimers of the gospel. That much is clear. But we do have the proclamation of the gospel being a very important part of our Christian lives. And it's interesting how Paul emphasizes this so much, that he wants people to be one to Christ. He will be all things to all people that he might save some of them. He does it for the sake of the gospel. And so, if we're going to have that as our aim, the sake of the gospel, that we would do whatever we can to win more people to Christ, this is going to involve a surrender of some of our rights. This is going to involve a surrender of some of our rights. So let's consider some rights that we have in healthcare or generally. Well, we have a right to be respected in healthcare. We have a right to be listened to be followed. We have a right to earn a wage. We have a right to be able to meaningfully engage in discussions on healthcare topics. We have a right to have informed opinions and thoughts about things, even if others might disagree with them. We have all these rights. We have, and I think the fact that a lot of times having had a lot of education for many healthcare providers, having intelligence, right, that I think in specifically, at least in this area, can be intimidating, or at least can be above others in such a way that we tend to think more highly of ourselves. We tend to get an inflated view of ourselves when we think about our brains or what we've gone through, what we've learned, what we know. And so we take that and we say, I now have a right to be treated in a certain way because of those things. And that's one of the biggest rights that I think we need to surrender. And that is the right of people owing me stuff, the right of pride, saying, no, I deserve to be treated a certain way. When we look at what Paul is doing here, Paul deserves, by the way, to be treated with so much respect as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the right to be cared for, loved, cherished, supported, and yet the church is not really doing any of that, right? The church is being skeptical of him and what he's doing. They're not supporting him. They're casting a suspicious eye towards him. And yet Paul, instead of saying, hey, wait, I'm an apostle of Christ, I deserve these things, he says, yeah, I'm an apostle. And so there are some things, such as being supported materially by you, that I could reasonably request, yet I'm not going to make use of that right so that I would be an example to you. I don't want anyone to deprive me of my boasting. And so we think about us as healthcare providers. We don't want anyone to deprive us of our boasting in Christ, right? We don't want to boast in anything outside of Christ. And so we're willing to lay down some of these things, lay down some of the things that we think we're entitled to, and say, no, I surrender that right because I don't want to have any barrier exist between me and a relationship with someone that needs to hear the gospel. That's what Paul was doing. He didn't want any barrier to exist between him and someone that he could reach with the gospel. That's why he said to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those outside the law, or excuse me, those under the law, I became as one under the law, etc., etc. And so he's actually laying down his own preferences, he's laying down his own desire to be noticed, to be recognized. He's laying down these things so that he would have access to people, specifically that he might win them to Christ. And so I think sometimes, as healthcare providers, we're treated in certain ways that don't meet up to our expectations of what we should be treated like. And so we tend then to stand up for ourselves. We tend to defend ourselves. We tend to even lash out, maybe talk back to people in ways that we shouldn't, to be disrespectful with our words to people who are not giving us what we think we deserve. And so we need to, in those situations, consider that Paul became all things to all people, that he might win some of them. And so we as healthcare providers should become all things to all people, to the weak. And we meet the weak all the time. We should become weak so that we might be able to relate to them. We don't need to boast in our strength. We don't need to tower over them as one who is strong while they're in their weakness. Right? We want to be empathetic. We want to relate to them on that level. To those who are poor, we want to become as though poor. We don't need to hold over or walk with that air of, hey, look what I have. I'm rich in many ways. Right? And healthcare workers in America, generally speaking, you're all rich by the world's standards. And so to the poor is what we have a barrier to us interacting with them. Do we think, oh, I can't, I'm not like them. And so it's beneath me to interact with them. It's beneath me to love them and care for them and have a kind of relationship from which we'd be able to share the gospel with them. So that's a big one, I think, is poverty. I think even intelligence, to those who are not able to grasp some of the things that we think, that we understand, and we tend to think, oh, well, I have all my stuff together. You know, I know what's going on. I'm pretty smart. Do we then treat those who we don't think measure up to our standard as though they don't deserve to have a relationship with us, or they don't deserve to have certain access to us because we're up here and they're down here? Rather, we want to become, we want to become unintelligent so that we might interact with the unintelligent. We want to come down to their level. And this is practical even in healthcare, to be able to communicate in ways that people understand. I mean, that's just common sense right there, right? We're not going to use all these kinds of words and terminology that we could use. We could look pretty smart. And actually, I presume some people actually do this, where they use words that they know that these people will not understand. And some of that may be an attempt to, again, have that boasting in our own wisdom and understanding. And so to be able to come down to someone's level, to meet with them, that's exactly what Paul is doing. We want to be able to do what he did with patients and with coworkers. And I think with coworkers even, people that have different titles, there's different hierarchies, it can be difficult, right? So even if we're a boss and we have someone who is serving under us, it can be a barrier where we say, well, they're not up to my level. I'm not going to surrender my rights as the boss of this person. I'm not going to come down to their level. I don't need to do that. That can be our thought sometimes. And so what we would rather do is say, I'm going to surrender whatever rights I think I have as being in this position, in this job, whatever it is, whatever rights that I think I have, whatever rights I think I deserve, I am going to surrender those rights so that I can engage with people on their level, that I can care for them on their level, that they won't even notice the division that might be between us. They won't even notice how we're different from them. Here, Paul is becoming like these other people in a way that I think where they would engage and interact with Paul, not even realizing that he's not actually fully in their category, whatever that category might be. But Paul does this so that he might win them, that he might save some. He does it for the sake of the gospel, that he might share with them in its blessings. He wants these people to ultimately receive the blessings that are found only in Jesus Christ. And that motivation for doing this, the gospel, the fact that Christ did this exact thing, right? Christ had all kinds of rights being God. He had all kinds of rights that he could have held on to, he could have flaunted, he could have used for his own gain. But instead, Christ surrendered those rights. He humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Right? And found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's Philippians chapter 2. And so Christ is our example in this. Christ did this for us. If we're trusting in him and we have been born again and we've experienced God's saving grace in our lives, we know what Christ did for us, and now we want to go and walk that out. We want to imitate Christ. And Paul even says elsewhere, we want to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. So we want to imitate them in this way, where we have rights, we think we deserve this or that, we have all this stuff, and in reality, all this stuff has been given to us by God, so we have nothing to boast about. Paul makes that point earlier in 1 Corinthians. But we have all these things we think we deserve. When people treat us not in accord with what we think we deserve, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when people do not meet up to our expectations? Or they do not provide for us whatever it is we expect to be provided? Our impulse should be, and we want to grow in this, and this is not easy, but to grow in following Christ's example of surrendering all his rights that he might save people. He did it out of love for people. And Paul is doing this out of love for people that they might share with him in the blessings of the cross. And so Paul finishes then with these analogies about running the race, the athlete exercising self-control, and that they do it for something that will perish, for a reward that will not last. But we, as Christians, have a reward that is imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for us, right? Who are being kept through faith, guarded for that day when it will be revealed to us. And so we press on for that imperishable wreath, which is the receiving of Christ ultimately at the end, right? Either we die or he comes back. We meet him. We receive Christ. We inherit all that Christ has inherited. And so we do things in this life in accord with that reality. We're not here. Our lives are so short, right? They're like grass, a flower, a mist, a vapor. The Bible makes this clear to us. And so to strive for things that ultimately serve us only in this life, such as recognition for what profession I'm in, or how much education I have, or how smart I am, or for these papers I wrote, or this or that, to strive for that kind of recognition, to strive for that boosting of my own ego, something that I can boast in, in reality, it makes no sense when we look at eternity, right? When we look at what's going to last. Boasting in ourselves makes no sense. And so we do not want to have any boasting outside of Christ. Paul says, again, verse 15, I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. So we don't want people, we don't want our customers, our patients, our coworkers, we don't want anyone to look at us and say, oh yeah, their reason to boast is in their knowledge, their education, or this or that. We want that to be so off the radar. We want to exemplify Christ so much that when they see us, when they look at us, when they talk with us, they'll see that ultimately our boasting is in Christ, that it's not in ourselves. And so this finally comes down to a pride issue where we need to lay down our own desire for people to praise us, our own desire to be known and recognized, and say, what I want more than to be recognized by these people is for Christ to be recognized by these people. May that be our heart cry. May God work that in us. Let's pray that that would happen. Father in heaven, I thank you for this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that addresses pride in our hearts. It addresses those things that we think we are entitled to, when in reality, those things ought to be laid down in service to others and for the sake of the gospel. May people coming to know Christ be what drives everything that we do. May that truly be the case. We need your Spirit to work that in our hearts, Lord. And so we pray that you would, and we thank you that in Christ, these things are actually a possibility. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.